after a day of rest on Saturday. The Eagles at it early in the morning at the NovaCare Complex on Sunday. A bit of breakfast, and then it's time to get ready for training camp 2013 on the field. Once again, the details being worked out as the Eagles look ahead just a bit. New England comes to town this week for a couple of practices, and then the preseason opener on Friday. Chip Kelly wants his team to be sharp for the first game of this summer season. Everybody, and welcome to the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity on an absolutely beautiful Sunday in South Philadelphia. The Eagles just getting off the practice field now, starting a week that is really critical as far as this preseason goes. We've got the military day, the open practice on Monday at Lincoln Financial Field, and then the Patriots coming. The Patriots are coming on practice for practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then the Eagles and the Patriots square off on Friday night, 7:30 on 6ABC in Philadelphia, the preseason opener. And we have a lot to talk about today. Isaac Sopawaga, big, strong defensive tackle the Eagles signed from the San Francisco 49ers in the offseason, brings his unique game and his unique personality to our studio here in the NovaCare Complex. And we sit down with Les Bowen, beat writer of the Philadelphia Daily News, who tries to analyze what he's seen on the practice field through a week and a half of practice here. We also have Chip Kelly's press conference coming up in just a moment. But before we get there, let's get you caught up on today's headlines. Let's do that right now.
Thanks, Dave. Time for your Inside Training Camp headlines. And it's a beautiful day here at the NovaCare Complex as the Eagles got back in action on Sunday after a day off on Saturday. And that day off for the players allowed a few guys to return to practice who had missed some time, most notably wide receiver Aurelius Ben, who missed time with a hamstring injury. Ben was acquired for a seventh-round pick from the Buccaneers in the offseason. He has to prove to the coaches now that he can stay healthy and be worthy of being on this roster. Also returning to practice, cornerback Bradley Fletcher and left tackle Jason Peters. The guys who did not practice today include wide receiver Dave Ball, left tackle Dennis Kelly, left tackle Ed Wang, and defensive tackle Antonio Dixon, but also most notably rookie tight end Zach Ertz. We're waiting on exactly his injury situation. It doesn't look too serious. He has been one of the stars of camp thus far. Meanwhile, speaking of the stars of camp, a couple undrafted free agents impressing and working with the first team today, wide receiver Russell Shepard, who continues to make a move at wide receiver, but then a guy we haven't really talked about, defensive lineman Damian Square out of Alabama. He got some looks with the first team today too. He could be making a push for the roster. Coming up later on the show, speaking of the defensive line, Isaac Sopawaga drops by the studio. And then tomorrow, don't forget, on Monday, Military Day at Lincoln Financial Field, presented by Deaton Watson. Back to you, Dave.
Thank you very much, Bo. And something to catch up on as well before we get to Chip Kelly's press conference. The Eagles releasing a statement today on Riley Cooper, something that they addressed here, and also Coach Kelly addressing that. Here's what it had to say. Riley Cooper made us aware of the tweets when the video became public. He told us that he did not know about the video. He informed us he blocked the tweets because he did not know the person nor understand the context of what that person was threatening. We promptly alerted NFL security. This information potentially speaks to a legal issue that is a matter between Riley and the authorities. Our focus has been on Riley's words and actions. Riley Cooper remains excused from all team activities. So the Eagles taking the field today, and as Bo said, Aurelius Ben, a very welcome addition back to the practice field for a wide receiver core thinned by the injury to Jeremy Maclin and then the Riley Cooper situation, which has had him away from team activities for the last few days. So the Eagles wide receivers a lot more active today. Good day for them. Really, I thought a good day for the cornerbacks as well. I mean, just a I thought the last couple of days here, the defense has really stepped things up, and we're going to explore a little bit later in the show the defensive tackles, the defensive ends, as they get ready for their first preseason action at the end of this week. 3-4-4-3. It doesn't matter what scheme the Eagles are playing. They've still got to get to the quarterback. They've still got to be physical at the line of scrimmage. They've got to stop the run as well. All right, once again, a large media contingent here on this Sunday. And everybody very curious to see what Kelly's practices are like. They are fast-paced in terms of high reps, getting the players to the line of scrimmage quickly, getting the football snapped very fast, and making sure that everyone during the teach periods has an opportunity to slow things down just a little bit and learn the ways that the coaching staff wants these players to go through the schemes, go through the tackles, run the drills. A very, very detailed teaching from this coaching staff here. So the one thing that's been missing is tackling to the ground. And that's something that is a little bit different for all of us, although very normal for the rest of the league. All right, head coach Chip Kelly meeting the media, answering the questions as the Eagles enter a week that sees them have a public practice on Monday, two practices with the Patriots Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the first game of this preseason schedule on Friday at Lincoln Financial Field. Here he is, head coach Chip Kelly.
Honestly, none. You know, I mean, in terms of, we just got to take him the way he is. I know, obviously, he's had some injuries in his career, but, you know, our thought isn't if he's cleared and ready to go like he was today in practice. I thought he played really, I was actually pleasantly surprised at how he, because of the time away, you know, sometimes there's an ease back in factor. I didn't see that from him. He just obviously got to look at the film, but I thought he looked pretty good. But at this point in time, you know, he's been in the league for a while as an experienced player. So, you know, what can we use him for? And right now, I think, you know, with his size, his ability to play special teams, he can bring a lot to the table. So, you know, really happy that we got a chance to get him back out there today. For the game, no, it's a good question. What we talked about is we want to get through Tuesday, Wednesday practice, and then we really got to sit down because I think, you know, we're going against the Patriots, so we believe the practices, we're going to get some good quality work against them. But we also talked about for us to say, hey, this is what we're going to do on Monday, and then all of a sudden the lineup changes, so you don't know. But after Wednesday is we'll probably have our final meeting, then have an idea going back through it. We're still going to practice against the Patriots on Thursday, but it will just be in helmets, and it's a lot of situational work, situational kick game, and some of that stuff. So, you know, it's not a physical practice by any stretch. But in talking with Coach Belichick, we want to get some work in. But we'll know by Wednesday kind of what our situation is and kind of have who's going to be able to play in the game and have it, and, you know, because there's a lot of components that get involved in that. So I thought today they all played really well. You know, I was encouraged with the entire team, you know, to come back. We had Saturday off, but I thought the energy out there today, there was a real good give and take by both sides of the ball. So, you know, I think all of them on today had a pretty good day. So, you know, when you go through it and you're going as many times in many evaluations, there's an up day and a down day and an up day and a down day. It's, you know, where do they kind of, you know, who consistently over the time, you know, has played at the highest level. But it's, you know, to say one day this guy was above and then this guy, you know, then it drops. So it's, I thought all three of those guys today, and then the little snaps that Dennis got, they played pretty well today. So
performance through Wednesday kind of helps determine who's going to start?
No, not performance, just what the depth chart is, like who's available. So, you know, where are we with what are we trying to put out there for one offensive line, one tight end group, one receiver group, you know, to try to give those guys and see how long we can go. And that's, you know, really there's a lot more factors into it because it's, again, we don't believe it's fair to say, hey, grade him here, but he played with a different set of people. So trying to figure out that part of it. So
when a quarterback has problems with the passes, the batted down passes, is it generally in your experience been a height problem or a throwing and lane problem?
It's a throwing and lane problem. I think unless you're Dan McGuire or someone like that, are you throwing over everybody? You know, almost everybody, you know, I think the average size of the quarterback is either 6'2", 6'3", and when you got linemen now that are at the 6'6 range, you know, you're throwing over people. One of the reasons we kind of brought those things, we used them at Oregon, you know, to kind of make 7-on-7. I think sometimes in 7-on-7, they can get complacent, and just, especially when you're throwing shallow cross routes, there's going to be some linemen there, and if you continue to get in the habit of just dropping the ball over there, it's not going to happen in a game. There's going to be a bunch of, you know, Lane 6'5", Jason's 6'4+, Todd Herriman, you know, I mean, in those situations, I really believe it's a lane situation, and that's what we're trying to get a little bit of work, a little simulation in that in the 7-on drill.
I think Barkley's done it.
I don't know the exact count. They've all done it more than once.
Okay.
So I think it's, I don't have the exact count. You may be right on that, but it's they've all it's being aware of where those lanes are more than anything, you know, and I don't think it's a height issue. So
the times that Mike comes to the ball, are those mostly design runs or are those plays that broke?
In this, I would say today they were mostly breakdowns. You know, we didn't have many. I don't think we had any design quarterback runs today. So, you know, those are mostly not breakdowns, but it's, you know, part of them being a good decision maker is if everybody's covered, don't force it. You know, and if obviously people are going to play man coverage and turn their back on you, you know, you looked at the one where they probably had a 25, 30 yard gain. So, you know, that's a good decision in my part. I don't consider that a breakdown. I consider it a good decision by the quarterback, and I also consider it, because I'm rooting for both sides, I think it's great coverage by us. But now we got to be a little bit better in our rush lanes in terms of containing a quarterback. And I think when you have a mobile quarterback, and we're going to face some, like even in our conference, you know, you better make sure your rush lanes have some integrity to them. Because if you get stuck with three guys coming from one side and a wide rusher on the other side, and you got a guy like the kid in Washington, you know, he's going to make you pay. So you got to be conscious when you're in man coverage of really where your rush lanes are. So. At certain times, you know, and I think with all young players or with all players, when they're thinking too much, you know what I mean, I don't think they're running as fast, you know. So if their head is moving and they're a little bit confused and their feet don't move as fast, you know, when Mo knows exactly what he's doing, I think he can cut it loose a little bit, you know. And that's when I start to see guys like today. I thought Damaris had a really good practice where Damaris is starting to pick things up to a point where he's not out there thinking, oh, on this I have, you know. He's reacting and going. So I think it doesn't matter what position you play. You know, when you start to see guys, it almost looks like they've gotten faster. They're not getting faster. They're just playing. They're just running to their potential. But they don't have to think anymore. They get the play call. They know what they're supposed to do, and then they execute it. So. Yeah, I think these guys have really settled in, and really the way we want to practice is always, it's faster than game. You know, we're getting the ball down faster. Because I always believe you can slow down. I think it's hard to speed up. So I think when our guys, when we get into game-like situations, they're going to find themselves, it's hopefully it's a little bit easier for them. But they've been fantastic in terms of assimilating to the style of practice that we want to practice in. So. Yeah, we just, you know, we talk about being bigger than the situation. You know, at times in this game, you're going to get, you know, probably hit. Sometimes you're going to get hit in your opinion, which is illegal, but you know the concept that we try to teach to these guys isn't to retaliate, because if this was a game they'd be out, you know, and they got to learn to do it. And it's not like, well, it's practice so I can do it, because we always believe you know, you're going to play in a game like you train. So, you know, we're just trying to – we've been fantastic, and it's tough. And I said since day one, I think the biggest positions that have to cooperate is the offensive and defensive line. Is you get – you know, there's a bunch of men up there, and they're battling. And at times it's – you know, if you trip over somebody or you're down or someone kind of takes an extra shove, you know, you kind of take exception to it. But it's a good teachable moment for us. Our guys understand it. You know, we'll talk about it again in the meeting tonight. But, you know, obviously you can't do it in a game, so we'll discourage it in practice. So.
Jason Peters left practice again earlier today. Yeah. That lane out to the left, mm-hmm.
If we were going to play a game, Jeff, we're probably going to go with our best tackle combination. So that's what – for us to do that, then Lane needs work at left tackle and Todd needs right Todd needs work at right tackle. So instead of saying, you know, in the Redskins game, hey, we got to move Lane, but he's never taken any snaps over there, we had planned all along with getting Lane work at right tackle and left tackle. We had planned on getting Todd some work there. You know, and if it ends up being Dennis, then – you know, we may still, I think Dennis maybe feel more comfortable playing right tackle. It may just be a one-person move where let's move Dennis into right tackle, let's move Lane over to left tackle. So we're just making sure that as you look down the road, we have some contingency plans on how it works. I think the versatility that Lane brings us gives us the ability for a guy that can play both tackles. And that's, to be honest with you, that's rare. You know, there's some guys that are legitimate right tackles, and, you know, finding left tackles in this league is very difficult. That's what one of the things that you know, looking at him in the draft is here's a guy that can do both, you know, and I think that was something that we really liked. And I think, I'll give you credit, I think you were the one who told us to take him, so. And then with Todd, right? Didn't you tell me earlier?
I wanted Fisher.
You wanted Fisher? I'm sorry to bring that up. I thought you said Lane. but we couldn't take Fisher anyway.
I did pick Lane when it came to Davis.
When it came to four.
Yeah,
okay, we're good. And with Todd, I think his versatility, being able to be a guard and a tackle, is a huge help to us. So I don't know how it's going to end up expressing itself, but I think when you get an opportunity in practice to go through some things and see him on film, there is some just subtle differences, you know, different foot up, different, you know, some of those things. But one of Lane's versatilities is in college, he played right tackle and played left tackle. So it's just kind of a, you know, giving us down the road, we've got a little bit of depth from that standpoint. So.
What do you have a time frame yet on Ryan?
No, not yet. And when we do, we'll make sure we announce it. So it's not going to be a surprise to anybody. But when we do get some information on him, we'll make sure we get that to you guys.
It's been 3 days and two practices with an open roster spot. Why is that?
Why?
Yeah.
Because really we've been at 89 for a little bit. We're trying to figure out, it's kind of the way we looked at it as a contingency plan. If you lose one more at anything, what do you do? You know, so if we lose another corner, you'd hate to be at 90. And when we lose a guy, but you only lose him for a couple of days, you'd hate to be at 90 and say, I wish we just had another corner in here instead of taking the extra receiver. We feel, because we have seven tight ends and five running backs, that if for some reason we think our receivers are getting a little bit tired, you know, we still have nine guys to go, then we can always play multiple tight end sets and we can play multiple running back sets. So we feel like we weren't going to run those guys into the ground. So to just go one for one, our thoughts, and I thought Howie had a great point, if we're at 89 and we lose a guy but we don't lose him for – obviously in Mac's situation and we replaced him, you know what I mean? In BJ's situation, we replaced him because they were gone. The injuries you worry about is if the guy's out for six, eight – what if he's out for 2 weeks? Now we need a body in here to get us through those next 2 weeks and to compete as he comes back. So we've just kind of held it just almost like you got one in your back pocket if you need it. So that's kind of how we approached it. So,
Chip, you spent a lot of time during practice on special teams. Why mm-hmm. do you play such an
Again, I can't speak to what other coaches do, but I think it's an integral part to the game. You know, there's a statistic out there in the last 25 years in this league, four games a year come down to 3 points or less. You know, and so if the margin of victory is so close, then we're going to work on anything that we could possibly within the rules to give us an advantage. And I think if you just look at one phase of the game as just an afterthought, then, you know, as we talk about it, is if you accept it, expect it. So, you know, if you accept your guys kind of going through special teams mediocre because as a staff it's not a big emphasis for you, well, then when you go out on Sundays and you don't play well in the kicking game, you got nobody to blame but yourself. So we're going to put a huge emphasis on it. I think when you play in this league, the talent level is just so close and the margin of victory is so close that anything we have a chance to affect the outcome of the game, and special teams is a huge part of that, then we're going to spend time on it. So.
What have you seen from Deshaun as a punt returner? You've seen spent quite a bit of time with the returners.
I think he's outstanding job of tracking the ball. He does an outstanding job of catching the ball. Obviously, we know how dynamic he is when the ball is in his hands. So, we're obviously we don't tackle in those situations, but I think we all know what Deshaun can do when the ball's in his hands. The biggest thing for us, and again, going back to what we think about special teams, it's a huge fundamental game, you know, and so we're really working extremely hard on all drills and what we can do to make sure that we're fielding the ball the right way. Because part of being great in special teams is I think anything from the catch on is a bonus, but you got to catch a ball. You know, there's so many hidden yards when the returner doesn't catch the ball, and all of a sudden now the other team gets an extra 15 yards because of the roll. Where if we had just kept the ball off the ground, we're going to be 15 yards better than we were. So a lot of being a great punt returner is being a great decision maker. Can you go get it? And there's times in games where I believe at the college level, we've won games because our returners just fair caught six punts, you know, and didn't let the ball roll, you know. And there's a lot of times it's hard to simulate that and to find a guy that really has the courage to run up in there. So I think he does a great job right now watching him from a fundamental standpoint. So I'm excited to see what he can do when we get the ball in his hands.
Michael Kendrick's skill set, what's
going to happen? It's a great question because Michael Kendrick's skill set is great to blitz, but Michael Kendrick's skill set is great to cover. You know, so I would argue he may be our best cover linebacker. So you're kind of caught in that. You know, you look at the play he made, you know, the diving catch on the interception. Now, I'm not sure we have another linebacker with that skill set. So it's tough when you have I shouldn't say it's tough. It's nice to have a guy that has that skill set that can do both. So I think we got to be conscious of, yeah, he's great to bring on blitzes, but he's also great in coverage. So I think we got to kind of mix and match. But the ability, what it ends up being for Michael is that he's truly a three down linebacker. So.
What did you see from Ben today? We haven't really spent
that. Regis, yeah. As I said earlier, I was pleasantly surprised. I did not, you know, coming off of, you expect some rust, to be honest with you, and I didn't, you know, a couple early drills, quarterback receiver catch drills, you know, running routes and things like that. He kind of flashed a little bit. I thought he was really good from a mental standpoint. He missed some insertion time because obviously he was out, and you know we can't stop insertion just because one guy's out. And we called things today that he had never run in practice before and really picked up. So I was, as I said earlier, I was really pleasantly not surprised, maybe as much as just, you know, happy to get Reed back out there. He's a big physical target, and he's also really good on teams. You know, so having that versatility of having your receivers to that can contribute on special teams is a big help for us. So.
Two more guys.
When you lose two receivers like that, one of them might come back. Did you see enough at the LTAs and here to know that you've got enough depth to come back?
No. Have I seen enough? No. No, I can't. I haven't been. Yeah, I'm extremely hopeful. I'm an optimistic guy. But have I seen enough from all our guys to say that we're 1,000%? No. But I wouldn't say that about anything right now. You know, I still think this is a work in progress. And, you know, I think every day I've seen this team improve. I thought we had a really, really good training session today, and I was excited about it. But as I tell those guys when we talk to them at night, it means nothing if we don't come back out and do it again tomorrow. You know, we have to continue to develop those habits and do it. But I'm excited in the direction we're heading. But can I 100% certain, you know, just kind of look at this position and check it off and say, good to go? No, not yet.
So. What do you want to get out of this?
Yeah, I just think there's a certain mindset so that when you come watch it, there's a consistency to it. You know, so I think the biggest problem is when there's a really, really good one and then you get all excited and then the next time you come out, it's flat. And then you kind of go up again. Is that you got to try to stay away from the valleys. And a lot of time, I think that's really what your mindset is. And we're trying to develop daily habits in these guys. So there's a rhythm to them. You know, there's part of what we're trying to do is why do we practice at this time? You know, this is when we're going to play. So we're trying to, you know, get the body set, get the clock set that this is how it's going to be. But the biggest thing you're looking for really, Les, and it's a great question, is the consistency aspect of things. You know, because this game, there's going to be a lot of, during the course of a game, there's going to be times where plays, you know, can't be really high one day and then be off for six or seven plays and then be really high again. It's that consistency level, and I think that's what separates good from great. I don't until I find out, and I've said the same thing every day. If someone goes down in practice or doesn't finish practice, until I get inside and find out exactly what it is, you know, it may be, if it's the hamstring again, then maybe we need to look at, you know, how quickly are we going to bring him back from. But I don't know exactly what it is. So when I do find that out, I'll make sure we get all the information to you. Okay?
Thanks, guys.
All right, good job, Chip Kelly, there. And as you heard, and what was really good news to hear, or really has been from a football standpoint, back on the field, flashing in drills, and the Eagles really want to see if their investment, remember the Eagles gave up a sixth-round draft pick to get Ben, see if he can come in here, make this football team, use that big body, and contribute to the passing game. When we return to Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity, the Philadelphia Daily News beat writer Les Bowen stops by, and later on, we take a look at the defensive line, including an up-close and very personal look with one, Isaac Sopawaga. We're coming right back on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Do not go anywhere.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News & World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
Big week ahead for the Philadelphia Eagles with the New England Patriots coming to town for some joint practices. Then, of course, on Friday night, the preseason begins at Lincoln Financial Field, 7:30 kickoff. You can watch the game on 6ABC. We're joined by Philadelphia Daily News beat writer Les Bowen, who is going to tell us everything that is going on with the Philadelphia Eagles right now, because we watch practice virtually side by side, and I can't tell what's going on, so you got to tell me what's going on.
Well, that's a good point, Dave. I don't know what's going on. It has been very, very different from an Andy Reid camp in that there's no tackling. And there's not nearly as much 11-on-11 work as we were used to in camp. So and there's a lot of – I mean, maybe it's because there's a new coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Maybe they need to work on the fundamentals of, you know, here's how you want to approach the tackling dummy and stuff like that. But – for us, it's much less valuable in terms of assessing players. I really think there's going to be an awful lot, from our perspective, invested in these preseason games, which used to be just something you sort of tried to sit through and you know, find something to write about. I think they're now going to be, you know, we're going to have to tape them and really scrutinize who did what and what that means.
I think in the past, we probably would all have written several stories on the long shot fill-in-the-blank player who flash to practice. It's hard to see that when there's no tackling out there. So I'm not sure any long shots are actually flashing, but I'm sure they are. We just don't know it.
I think a few probably are. I also think there's so many more spots open that it's not a situation as it was with Andy again, where you didn't worry about like who the quarterback was and you didn't write that and you instead tried to find, you know, a colorful story to write. When you don't know who the quarterback is, that's the story.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, we've had some other things come up as camp has gone on here that have just kind of, you're right, have taken all that kind of narrative totally out of our hands so far.
Les, how, when you watch practice, how would you evaluate on your naked eye, you've seen a lot of football, Michael Vick, Nick Foles, Matt Barkley, Dennis Dixon?
You know, they've all looked pretty good. One thing that I did notice, and I mentioned this to you when we were out on the field a little while ago, there's a difference between the practices where they're wearing pads and the practices when they aren't. It seems like when they're not wearing pads, the defense is much less aggressive. All the quarterbacks look great. They're dropping the ball into, you know, spots, and receivers are right there, and catches are being made. Put the pads on, and all of a sudden, the defenders are jumping routes. They're kind of holding on to guys. There's no separation, it seems like to me. Michael Vick has, with the pads on, I think, has been the better or the best of the group. But we haven't seen that much of the pads. That day we were inside last week, Thursday, Nick Foles was astonishing, but that was a no-pads day.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it's basically a competition between Foles and Vick. I mean, there's no really – you don't see Matt Barkley or Dennis Dixon getting reps with the first team ever. But beyond that, I can't tell you much.
Well, Friday night will be telling from that standpoint, from many standpoints. One thing I will say that I noticed, Les, you would tell me if you agree, Chip Kelly works on the running game a lot. A lot.
Yes.
And it makes you think that this will be a run-based offense.
I think that's probably true. We also – a lot of outside running, it seems like to me. And again, without the tackling, it's really hard to assess, did the runner really get to the corner, or was there a linebacker just sort of standing there that would have, you know, knocked him down or tripped him? You know, But yeah, there is a lot of running and a lot of backs that have looked good. I think McCoy obviously looks good. Bryce Brown looks good. Chris Polk has lost weight and
yeah, he's moving fast.
Really has stood out. Felix Jones is a very good pass receiver, which of course I guess we knew from the Cowboys days, but it's reinforced here on the field.
How about the defense? Tough to say. I mean, I certainly see a lot of 3-4. I do see some an instance or two there where Trent Cole's got his hand down in a 4-3 look, but again, without the tackling, we've established that, but what are you taking from what you're seeing from the defense?
You know, I was really struck by what Bill Davis said last week about the spectrum of he's taking a defense that was in a 4-3 wide nine, would be over here, trying to move it toward a 3-4 two gap, which would be over here, and you can't just take these players and put them over here. And I think he's a bit nervous about that. Not nervous, but I think he has some...
He understands it's a big
realistic...
Challenge.
Yep. There's some problems there. And I don't know if you can drop Trent Cole or Brandon Graham into coverage on a regular basis.
I have not seen that. I would think that you don't have to. I mean, how
yeah.
often did DeMarcus Ware, for example,
right.
drop back in coverage?
Right.
You need somebody
yes.
to get to the quarterback. That's yes. the way I'm looking at it. But I could be all wrong. Again, what we see here is just such a small... case study that
yes.
I need the entire for the first time in a long time.
Again, you need to see the games.
You need to watch the preseason games. They begin
right.
on Friday night on 6ABC, and we can talk about the quarterback situation then, Les.
Oh boy!
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. Les Bowen in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
In a smart world, smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step 3. Show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
Brian Westbrook, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Welcome back to Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity. Dave Spadaro with you here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Reminder, tomorrow, 12:30, we've got the public practice. Number 2. At Lincoln Financial Field, this time we celebrate all 5 branches of the military. Tickets available. It's supposed to be an absolutely gorgeous day. Get down to Lincoln Financial Field and enjoy the Chip Kelly practice. Take a look at something that is very novel to what we've seen here for the last decade plus. And then we've got the Patriots coming to town for practice Tuesday and Wednesday at the NovaCare Complex. And then on Friday night, the preseason opener, much anticipated. Check it out on 6ABC in Philadelphia. Kickoff at 6:30. Time to talk a little bit about the defense. It's very difficult to assess exactly where they are with this defense. The Eagles have a new coach. They've got a new scheme. They're trying to integrate everything without tackling in this training camp period. So how do you evaluate? Well, you evaluate the movement, the mental reps, and the coach's understanding where the players are supposed to be at each point in time on the field. All right, we take a look at some of the more versatile players up front, some players who are going to move around on this defensive line. Fletcher Cox, last year's number one draft pick, a very fine season in 2012 as a defensive tackle in the wide 9-4-3 scheme. He'll play a 5 technique, which is a defensive end, in the 3-4. So when the Eagles go 4-3, he'll go back to that more traditional look inside. Isaac Sopoaga, who we'll meet a little bit later on in the show, big, massive, burly guy, takes up a lot of space, occupies blockers, not a flashy player at all, but he's somebody who will gum up the works inside and allow others to come clean and make a tackle. And then Cedric Thornton, last year, doing some work, young in his career, still very young in his career. Eagles expecting big things from him. Thornton's gotten bigger, stronger in the offseason. He'll play that 5 technique defensive end as well this year. And the Eagles also expecting things from big-time bodies like Clifton Gathers and, oh, by the way, number 3 draft pick Benny Logan. Benny Logan, somebody that was very much decorated in his days at LSU, wore that coveted number 18, signifying a leader on the team. He does it on the field, off the field. He's making a good early impression here. We throw to Benny Logan and his rookie profile.
Sitting in the green room, you're really anticipating your name getting called, and it's really nerve-wracking.
All my life I've wanted to play in the NFL, be a quarterback, and so this really is a dream come true.
I want to bring a Super Bowl to the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I think that's the goal of everybody in this organization.
Childhood growing up, I come from a small town, country town. That's, you probably could tell in my accent. Grew up in a big family, 4 brothers, 3 sisters. We were always involved in sports. I used to play football in the backyard, my cousins and the older brother. So that's why I got men from being so tough and physical, because they used to run over me and just push me down. I didn't start playing football until 7th grade, and I was a tight end then. I never imagined playing defense. I always wanted to be the one to score the touchdowns and celebrate things that people will remember, because a lot of people don't remember anybody on defense. So I want to be an offensive guy with the catches and, you know, the spectacular touchdown celebrations and stuff. And going to my senior year, I was looked at by a few small colleges in Louisiana. No major D1 school really offered me. So going to camps was the stage I made my name known at the LSU camp, when I dominated a lot of high-ranked offensive tackles. And that's when a lot of D1 schools started offering me. Nebraska was the first one to offer me. Then Michigan, then Alabama, Texas A&M, Ole Miss. It was kind of weird because LSU, being that I was a home state boy, they didn't offer me until I made my official visit. Once they offered me the full ride, I decided right then and there that I didn't want to go anywhere but to stay in the state of Louisiana and play for my state. My redshirt sophomore year was the year I really just put in a lot of work to leave no doubt, to make sure the coaches, you know, they have a choice but to play me because of my hard work and effort. So our first game was against Oregon. There was a lot of talk about Oregon, you know, just being a national championship, you know, the talent they have. And that game was like my breakout game. And that really just set the stage for my career at LSU. I got told going into my redshirt junior year, I was nominated to wear number 18. It was me and Eric Reed. They ended up giving it to me. And that's something that I was very surprised and shocked and just overjoyed, you know, to be honored to wear that with all the great guys ahead of me, Jacob Hester, Brandon Taylor, Richard Murphy, Richard Dixon, all those great guys ahead of me that wore that jersey, and the great leaders that they were on the team. And just to be able to nominate that and be able to nominate and to wear that was like a great honor to me. And another thing, I was the first D lineman to ever wear that jersey, so it was definitely like something spectacular to me and something I want to wear with great pride. My first month was, I was really nervous, not gonna lie. Our first day here when the vets came, it was really a friendly environment. You know, guys came, introduced themselves, shook your hand, telling that we're working to build this program, this organization back up, and just want us to buy into it. And that's what a thing that caught us all the attention, just really just pushed us to do our best when we go out and practice. Goals for the season, I want to contribute to the team, which, you know, whichever way the coach allows me to, with whenever my name is called or my number is called, I want to be ready. So my first goal this season is to make sure I'm prepared every game week, film study and just make sure I'm doing a little thing, take care of my body so I can last throughout the season. I want to dominate rookie defensive lineman in the league.
Sitting in the green room, you're really anticipating your name getting called, and it's really nerve-wracking.
All my life I've wanted to play in the NFL, be a quarterback, and so this really is a dream come true.
I want to bring a Super Bowl to the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I think that's the goal of everybody in this organization.
All right, a little update for you here from the practice field. Eagles announcing that left tackle Jason Peters, who returned to practice today and then left, bothered by that hamstring injury that kept him out of practice for a couple of days. So Eagles monitoring that situation again. Jason Peters leaving practice today with a hamstring injury. Want to get him healthy on the field for the entire rest of this training camp whenever he gets back on the field. So Eagles exercising some caution with their prized left tackle. All right, we've got a really interesting look on the other side at Eagles defensive tackle Isaac Sopoaga, who hails from the island of Samoa. And according to ESPN, Samoans are 40 times more likely to reach the NFL than those in America and on the mainland here, given the population of the island of Samoa. I think about 13 Samoans on NFL rosters right now. One of them here in Philadelphia, an extremely interesting, spiritual, and peaceful man. Isaac Sopoaga joins us in studio next on Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step 3. Show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
Eagles fans, this is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
How about getting in front of the fans for the first time tomorrow?
Oh, we're going to say aloha, and what do we say here? E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. There you go.
Well, we're now a couple of weeks into training camp, and Isaac Sopoaga is still smiling as he goes through the paces here, getting ready for the New England Patriots coming to town this week. Isaac, welcome to our studio here. Welcome to PhiladelphiaEagles.com. How's camp going?
Sweet, fun, and first of all, I would like to give thanks to our graciously Heavenly Father for everything that he has done, given, and also provide for us, especially each new day. It's just a blessing.
Talk about the spirituality that you have. Where did it come from? I mean, you live it every day, don't you?
Oh, it's a must guarantee. And then, yes, I am from a family of, I have seven uncles are reverend ministers. And then also, My dad is a teacher in church. So is my grandfather.
Wow, is that part of your future after football? Do you think?
I don't see myself why not. You know, sharing the word, sharing the right path to my people, not just for my family, my people, but for the extended world, you know, mm-hmm. kids that want to learn nothing about, not just football, but, you know, for the history, Samoa, and then for whatever.
Well, I'm fascinated. We talked a little bit before you came on that the past that you have, your father is the king of your village in your town in Samoa, wherever, what the part in Samoa?
Chief.
The chief, it's, okay,
the chief. The highest chief in our village.
So you are royalty in your hometown?
In a way, but, you know, I don't put myself in that area situation of being royal. You know, I'm just me. I just stay regular and then act normal.
Isaac, what's the town, your friends, your family, all of those in your village? What you've had so much success in the NFL. Have they celebrated along with you? Have they been able to follow with you and embrace the success that you've had?
Yes, they are my number one fan, and then they've been with me all my athlete career, you know, playing 12 years in the rugby, and then this is my 10th year in the league, playing National Football League, and then they've been all the way.
What is the reason for your success? Why do you think you've had so many years, so much longevity in the NFL?
First thing first, God first. And then, your wife, your kids, your mom and dad. Those are those three main keys of me to push myself more. Because, of course, give thanks to our Heavenly Father. Second, your wife and kids. You have to work for your wife and kids. And then third, you have to pay back your parents all the years that you were under their wings, under their roof. The 17 years from your young childhood till you graduate high school, when you leave Samoa to come to the mainland for school, you have to have a mindset of you have to pay back your parents all those years that they've been taking care of you.
Will your parents come to Philadelphia to watch your games?
Oh, guaranteed they
really?
Will. They're guaranteed they will. They are diehard fans.
Oh, I like
They're
that.
Like my number one fans.
How long did it take them to really embrace and understand the game of football?
I'm pretty sure my dad understands and then knows the game of football before
for
myself,
you.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I didn't actually start playing football till 99. Mm-hmm. And then my dad, of course, he's years ahead of me, and then he's been watching football before me.
Who's the first Samoan? Did you have as a young boy, a high school kid, an older Samoan who was maybe an idol because of what they did in the NFL?
I had a couple of family relatives that used to play in the league, and then they've been so successful, and then those are my role model, those are my idol, those are the people that I look up for. It's Jesse Sapolu,
San
Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. My cousin Mark Tune.
Oh,
on
yeah,
my
Mark
mom's
Tune.
Side.
Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys. And my cousin on my dad's side, the Noma brothers.
Oh, okay.
L. Nickel.
Okay. So this is all. So how's Philadelphia treating you? It's a completely different world than the 9 years you had in San Francisco.
It's a totally blessing. Different.
Yeah.
Different spirit, different environment. The way that I feel here, in our Eagles, Philadelphia homeland, they're like down to earth, diehard fans.
Yeah.
They. I was so surprised that I went to I forgot the name of that Philly steak place. There were people that are willing to buy my food. I was like, whoa, this is just such an honor. You know, these people will do anything for you. They will. I feel like they're gonna chew me up. They love their team. They love their guys, and then it's an honor.
Yeah. So, can you say? Have you learned enough to say, "Yo, Philly, I love you"? Can you do that?
Oh, talofa, yo, Philadelphia, aloha, and I love you.
Oh, I like that very much. How's the football going? How's the training camp going?
Oh, sweet. You know, the weather is similar to Samoa, humid, hot. But this spirit here, the Eagles, coaching staff, the owner, thank you, everybody in this building. It's so amazing.
Yeah, you like it. You feel like you're part of the family.
I am.
Yes, you are. Good. Yes. I mean, well, but when you come from somewhere and have to start over, there can be a period of time where it takes a little while to get settled in.
Oh, nah. I was already, my spirit was like already blend in here when I left California to come up here for that, you know, sunny day. And yeah, it was just a blessing feeling.
Okay. And so this week, you get a chance to hit somebody on Friday. You ready for that?
It's a must.
Yeah. Yes. Is training camp, any little key you can give us to how you get through the day-to-day of training camp?
How do you get through a day-to-day of training camp? Just like I share first, you know, I don't know if you came into our locker room and then see me reading my Bible, reading my lines of scripture. Those are the first thing that I do before I, you know, put food in my mouth, before I, you know, do anything. It's, like I say, it's God first, and then second, you have to know and then learn how to take care of your body, and then of course the book.
Yeah, you're a peaceful man, aren't you? You're a man of peace.
I'm a peace humble.
Yeah, very nice, humble Isaac. Guy. Thank you. Thank Good luck. Have a great rest of the training camp, and yes. We'll talk to you during the season.
Let's have a great camp.
Yes, that's right. We love you, Philly.
Okay, aloha, Philadelphia. Thank you.
All right, Isaac Sopawaga in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of Congress, in celebration of over 75 years of our Government Employees Insurance Company,
or GEICO, as most of you know it, I propose savings for everyone.
I'm talking hundreds here, and furthermore...
Breaking news, the GEICO is demanding free pudding.
And political parties that are actual parties, with cake and presents.
No, that was good. It's too bad nobody could hear me.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We live in a smart...
Well, that'll do it for today's Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. I'm Dave Spadaro. Stay tuned for our Eagles update. Tonight we go inside the locker room. And then tomorrow, open practice at Lincoln Financial Field. Military Day, it's an appreciation for our armed services. Make sure you are there. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles night.